Welcome to Six Questions from Six. This episode is a conversation about Fair Work Week legislation with Representative Nicole Macri from Washington State.
Question number one is, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you represent, and what made you decide to become a state legislator?
So I'm Nicole Macri, and I'm a state representative from the 43rd Legislative District in Washington State, and I represent a district in the heart of Seattle. So from downtown Seattle to some of our most vibrant neighborhoods, including the University of Washington campus in Seattle. And I have represented this district since 2017. I was elected in 2016 for the first time. And I was motivated to run for office really because it became clear to me that the state government needed to be a better partner to help our local communities address some of the most pressing challenges that are facing cities and small towns across our state. I've worked for many years, particularly on issues of housing justice, and as the cost of living started to rise dramatically after the Great Recession, I saw that my city by itself could not solve the challenges of affordability and growing income inequality. Like many women who get into politics after working in community for a long time, I was asked multiple times to step up to run for office. And after I could find no other reasons to continue to say no, I jumped in the race in 2016. And it's been a challenging but enjoyable time in the state legislature so far.
Great. And then question number two is, what first made you aware of scheduling issues for hourly workers, and how are your constituents impacted by this issue?
So I've worked in social services and human services and healthcare for most of my career. Outside of the legislature, I'm a senior staff person in a multi-service organization that provides behavioral health and homeless services that runs 24 hours a day across over 20 sites within the city of Seattle. And so scheduling issues have been a part of my professional life for many, many years. And so I saw it from really a manager's point of view there. Of course, I've had past experiences working overnight shifts in homeless services, and previously was a grocery store worker. So I have long been aware of scheduling issues. What really brought to my attention the opportunity to bring more fairness and equity to work schedules was the efforts that happened in Seattle. A few years ago, when efforts to undertake a local ordinance on secure scheduling really built momentum. And it was through that I understood that not all employers were like mine, that really valued consistent schedules and full-time and fully benefited positions for people, but that work was becoming more and more sporadic as a norm. I knew as cost of living was rising, particularly for my colleagues, many of whom hold second jobs, weekend jobs, or off-shift jobs to make ends meet, about the challenges of trying to coordinate multiple hourly positions. But it was really through the work that happened in Seattle that I became really attuned to the pervasive challenges of clopidogrel shifts, the disproportionate impact on restaurant and retail workers of erratic schedules, as well as inconsistent hours week to week.
And then question number three is, what would your upcoming Fair Work Week legislation do, and how would the people in your state be helped by it?
So as I said, we have a local ordinance in Seattle. So why would somebody from a district that already has these protections bring forward legislation for statewide protections? Well, I heard from from neighbors and constituents in my district of their experiences, both living before we had the ordinance in place and how the local law in Seattle brought more stability to their schools and to their family life. And that was compelling to me. And then I had heard about people who live in my district who used to work in the city, but then moved positions to locations outside of the city and saw those protections go away. So I talked to workers in restaurants, in our downtown department stores, and heard about these challenges. And that is what really compelled me to consider offering this legislation. We did a work session in the State House on scheduling challenges and what secure scheduling policies around the country look like in local jurisdictions in Oregon State, where they do have a statewide statute in place. And I heard really compelling stories from people in small communities and in suburban areas and in large cities in our state about the challenges that they have had. The fact that they fear losing their job when their kids get sick at school. I heard from one woman whose mother had a chronic health condition and how her mom's health really suffered, and the stress for her was just immense when she wasn't able to attend to meeting her mother's healthcare needs because she never knew when she was going to be called in to work because she was required to be on call without getting paid for that on-call time. And so hearing those personal stories really compelled me. And since I've gotten more involved, of course, I've seen the national data that shows the really detrimental impact that a growing number of people having erratic, unpredictable schedules has on individual families, which that disproportionately impacts lower wage earners, disproportionately impacts single female head of household families, women in general, people of color and immigrant communities. And so this idea that getting a foothold into the working world provides stability for people. There is this myth that people have equitable access to opportunity, and once you have a job, that brings stability to your family. But working life in the United States for a large majority of people is not predictable and stable. And so for me, this is really the next frontier on worker protection we have to continue to fight for fair wages and appropriate working conditions when you're on the job, but how your employer influences your time when you're away from work, your availability to meet the rest of your life's obligations, your family obligations, your community obligations, is, I think, an area that we as a society need to do more work on. And so it's been, to me, I have likened it a lot to imagining what the conversations were like when policymakers and organized labor activists were talking about the 40-hour work week and overtime pay. That must have felt very revolutionary at the time to be having those conversations. And these ideas around advance notice on scheduling, around compensating people when you change their schedule, around ensuring consistency for people's schedules or paying a premium if you don't do that. The conversations, a lot of people say, whoa, that is just so radical. But to me, I imagine it much like must have been the conversation when we were talking in this country about the 40-hour work week. So it's been hard, but it's been really inspiring.
Question number four. Who has opposed reforming work scheduling laws, and what are good ways to respond to their opposition?
So the folks who benefit from the status quo have opposed pretty strongly fair scheduling law conversation. So those really are our larger corporate entities, so our big box stores, our major restaurant franchises around the country, who benefit from essentially exploiting workers, from treating human beings like widgets and plugging them into algorithm scheduling programs to maximize profit and minimize labor costs. And those have been the strongest forces in opposing our efforts. Whenever you're doing policy that really impacts that work site specific relationship between an employer and an employee, which we have done many times in this country, you have to be very thoughtful about how you draft that legislation and how you think about who is impacted and the logistical requirements that you're embedding into the policy. And so while there has been strong opposition from some quarters, there has also been really fruitful engagement with employers about understanding the intent, not necessarily opposing the intent of the legislation, but wanting to really engage in more detailed conversation about what it looks like on the ground. Distinguishing between what is just flat out, no way, we're not gonna budge opposition, and folks who are raising very legitimate questions and concerns about how do we operationalize a policy like this? How do we not inadvertently harm small business owners with thin margins as we try to level the playing field between employees and employers? So we can get around, some people say we can get around the idea that if we expect flexibility from our employees, they should expect flexibility from us as employers. But we don't have the capacity to do the level of reporting that this kind of policy requires, or we're worried that the way we're doing our scheduling now will be subjected to an inordinately higher labor costs. How can we talk through some of those challenges? So trying to focus the negotiation and conversation more in that direction than just being on the defense back and forth between the proponents and opponents of the bill. So that has elicited a lot of good conversation about, as we say, who's in, so what size employer, what type of employees, how do we, and then looking at the logistics, how should employers report to the state on it? What are the appropriate paths for resolution or for recourse if an employer doesn't follow the proposed law? So those have all been, they've been complicated engagements, but we're making progress, I think.
And then question number five is, who have some of the champions for Fair Work Week legislation been in your state, and how are you working together as a coalition?
Folks in organized labor who have been at the forefront of every worker protection that we have in this nation have been the strongest partners and allies in this. So I've been working really closely, particularly with the service unions, like United Food and Commercial Workers, UFCW, as well as groups who are working on sort of non-traditional labor organizing. So like groups like Working Washington, which has was really at the forefront of the fight for $15 an hour and for secure scheduling at the local level in Seattle, looking at workers who may not be in labor unions in their work places, so may not be traditionally organized, but who have organized across sectors to work for worker protections. And so they have been the strongest champions. I'll say my local government representatives in Seattle who went through the deliberation for the local ordinance have been great. In our city, we have a dedicated Office of Labor Standards. They've been a tremendous resource. And the large employers who went through that process in Seattle, they haven't always been champions for it, but they have been super helpful, and they have brought a lot of good background and experience, and in some cases saying, we get it, we see where this is going, we want to make it work, these are the lessons that we've learned. Our large employers as well, the kind of big multinationals or multi-state corporations that have implemented secure scheduling policies in other jurisdictions around the country, in New York or Oregon, they have brought some lessons learned as well that have been, that really have furthered our dialogue about it. That, my colleagues in the legislature, it has been a an interesting evolution. So I have found many champions as well amongst my colleagues in the legislature who at first were like, is this really a challenge? Some of them have said that. And then others who have said, yeah, you know, I talk to my neighbor who I know works at the grocery store every week about the challenges that she has dealing with multi-generational care issues. You know, a lot of workers are sandwiched between taking care of children and taking care of parents. And so I have found a lot of support and unlikely champions among legislators who are helping to spread the word as we work on this policy.
Question number six is there anything else about your strategy or lessons learned from past efforts that could be helpful for legislators in other states to know?
Yeah, I would say that this issue is like any other pioneering policy issue, a new policy concept that you really need to lay the groundwork, making sure that you have a strong coalition and making sure you have a strong strategy for how you're going to promote your policy. So expect tremendous need for education of policymakers, and understanding that people really work on conventional wisdom and draw from their own experiences and assumptions. So connecting legislators to constituents in their district to talk about their own experiences, that has been tremendously helpful, because what people remember is when their neighbors tell them about the struggles that they have and what they need to make their family life better, what they need to be more engaged in the life of their communities. And then backing that up with data. So I've been really grateful for the work that's happened nationally to analyze secure scheduling and Fair Work Week policies, both in the local jurisdiction level as well as the statewide level. To inform about how pervasive these challenges are, and to talk about the fact that this is working in other places. It hasn't decimated business to treat workers with respect and flexibility and in equitable ways. So this is progress that we can make. We have to, it's been very helpful for me to particularly have these allies who are working with me on the bill to help bring forward the voices from different parts of the state. So one vulnerability is, I've had some colleagues in the legislature say to me, well, that's fine for a big city like Seattle, where you have relatively low unemployment and a lot of different access to both job opportunity as well as workers in a larger city. You don't know how it is in a rural community like mine, that this will be overly burdensome to bring forward the voices, because the challenge of a sporadic work week at Target in Seattle is fundamentally not different than the sporadic challenges for families working at Target in a more remote rural area of the state. The impacts on families are very much the same. So we need, as we always do with a statewide policy, to make sure that it's broad enough and flexible enough to fit the context in urban areas and rural areas, big towns and small towns, and that we are focusing on ensuring that the policy also fits organizations that have big, large bandwidth, so our big corporate, big box stores, as well as those medium-sized employers, and providing exemptions where it just, this sort of policy doesn't make sense. But where we're really seeing the big challenges is where we have corporate scheduling practices that are not individually tailored to workers' needs, or that balance, that give and take between employers and employees that we have. The other challenge I see is really educating policymakers about the nature of the modern work life. I think a lot of policymakers are in a position where they have a mythical idea of what work life is, that people have stable schedules, that they have stable incomes, that when you get a job, you can count on working that job a routine number of hours a week, that your schedule is relatively stable over time. And that is not what modern work life is for many, many people in our state and across the country. And understanding the difference between the impact on people if you are able to get 31 hours a week at work this week and only 16 hours at work next week, the stress that induces, the inability to write a budget for your family and be able to stick to it, the uncertainty of knowing whether or not you'll be able to afford the medication that your kid needs, or to be able to put food on the table if you also decide you're going to pay rent that month. I mean, these are not the kinds of circumstances people want to be in. What I have found in my work working on housing stability issues is that people want work. They want stability in their lives. And the vast majority of folks, over 70% of people who are working hourly shift jobs, want more stability and want more hours at work. So dispelling these myths that that the sporadic hours and flexibility are driven by the employee interests, and educating lawmakers that they're really coming from the employer as they just slot people in to the schedule to minimize labor costs and maximize profit. So that all of that education, laying that groundwork, all of that happens outside of a legislative session. It happens best at home in district when lawmakers can connect with neighbors and constituents who are impacted by these sort of working conditions.
Thanks so much, Representative Macri. Legislators, we have more resources available for you, specifically on Fair Workweek legislation, so reach out to helpdesk@stateinnovation.org for support on this and any other issue. And we'll also be recording 6 questions from 6 throughout the year, so stay tuned and let us know if there's a policy you'd like to discuss. This has been 6 questions from 6. Until next time.